This interview with Elizabeth Davis, done at Hawk Springs on October 21st, 1985, is part of the project The Spirit of Survival, Voices from the Depression. The Oral History Project is funded by the Wyoming Council on the Humanities and directed by Don Hodson, history instructor at Eastern Wyoming College in Torrington, Wyoming. The interviewer is Sandra Hansen. This interview is with Jim Davis of Hawk Springs. It's being done on October 21st, 1985, as part of the Oral History Project entitled The Spirit of Survival, Voices from the Depression. Director of the project is Don Hodson, history instructor at Eastern Wyoming College, and interviewer is Sandra Hansen. Okay, Jim, the point of these oral histories is to get people's recollections of their experiences in the Depression. And that's what we'll concentrate on here, is just your personal recollections of that time. Did you notice any real drastic effects on your life?
Oh, I don't think so. Mainly, we just lived the way you had to live, and you made do with what you had. Well, I don't think it really bothered us like it did some of the people, because we had livestock and we had irrigated ground to raise feed for them. There was a lot of times that we went into the cropland after the especially the wheat ground, after the wheat was so dry, the wheat didn't mature, and we'd get a little moisture, and then we'd put this, what wheat there was, and the weeds were mostly Russian thistles, we'd put them up for livestock feed, and of course we had hay on the irrigated ground, but we would use the weeds to make our feed go farther, and we had water for our garden. And everybody raised a garden, a big garden. We were more fortunate than a lot of the neighbors around, because we had water for the garden. A lot of the neighbors didn't have water. They had to, if they got any water to the garden, they pumped it. And that wasn't very satisfactory. It took a lot of hard labor to get the water pumped to the gardens. And at that time, the help was, it was plentiful. If they were lucky enough to get a job. I know a fellow that worked for my folks, and they had five or six kids at that time, and he worked for $45 a month through the summer and $30 a month through the winter. And how they raised those kids and got by, I don't know. They got a lot of cans. They got a lot of vegetables and stuff out of the garden here at home to put up, but they still had to clothe the kids and it was they talk about being hard up now. They really don't know. People now don't know what hard up is. I know of several instances where people had went to the bank and they couldn't borrow $500 without somebody co-signing for them. And that was, they didn't too many people do that either. As far as depression affecting us, we didn't Well, I don't know. Well, you made your own entertainment. You had your community gatherings, not in towns, from one Saturday or Sunday they'd gather at one of the neighbors, and then maybe 2 or 3 weeks they'd gather at another neighbor's, and they didn't have to go to town for their entertainment. They made it. But I don't really know that the depression affected us too much. It was just a way of life, I think, at that time.
Where were you living at that time?
Well, we were living right where Elizabeth and I live.
That's 3 east and how many south?
It's 2 south and 3.5 east of Hawk Springs.
Were you pretty isolated out here at that time?
Well, no. Really, we weren't as isolated as we are right now, as far as neighbors. We had transportation, but you went to Torrington maybe once a week. It was a big deal, and now you go into Torrington, it's no big deal. You just get in the car and go. But we had probably had 3 or 4 more neighbors, closer neighbors, than we do right now. And but they well, from 34 and 35, I think, was the biggest movement of people from away from here.
Were there foreclosure sales?
Mm-hmm. Oh, some. A lot of them that left here sold. Well, they sold their mineral rights off of their land, if they had any, for money to get away from. And others had some livestock and things like that that they had brought with them when they came, and they sold them to get money to move on. And they sold their land. If they had homesteaded the land and proved up on it, why, chances are they got 50 cents a dollar an acre for the land, sold it, and moved on. There wasn't anything worth any money.
Did any of your neighbors down here participate in that program where the government came in and bought the livestock and then killed it and paid the people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a lot of them. A lot of them did that. They bought pigs, they bought cattle. And that was the only way they could get any money for them. They had an auction started in Torrington. That was started in 34, I think it was. But the government paid more money for the livestock than you could get for it at the auction. And there was quite a lot of the livestock, people that had livestock. I know my dad sold some, and the government paid more for the livestock. They didn't, and they could got for them there at the sale barn in Torrington. They didn't kill them here. Now, I don't know whether they personally didn't see any that were killed. But there was reports out that they gathered them up and killed them. But there was a place down at LaGrange where they moved them in, and they were fed for a while. Now, whether they were killed there or whether they were moved out from there, I wouldn't know.
It's one program I heard about quite a lot.
Mm-hmm. They killed some hogs
here. Well, they killed some hogs, but I was mainly thinking about cattle.
Yeah, and people have the meat to eat.
Do you remember people's opinions of that program?
Well, I think the majority of them thought it was a good idea. It gave them some money to live on, and that was what they had to have, was something that they could survive with.
The other programs that the government got started at that time, did your family participate in any of those?
Well, in most everybody participated in them to begin with. And there was a lot of the land had been plowed, and it shouldn't have been plowed. And they had what they called the soil bank, and they paid $1. I think it was $1 an acre. And you could sign your land up for 10 years at $1 an acre. And hopefully they tried to seed it back to grass, but it took more than just planting the grass, because there wasn't moisture enough several of the years to get the seed to sprout. And as I remember, they furnished the government even furnished the seed for you to plant. But there was acre after acre in this, Hawk Springs area, and on the Iowa, up on the Iowa Center Flats, and most of the area where the homesteaders came in, dry land areas, and there was just no way they could make a living. So they moved out, and people that bought this land, a lot of them, turned it into the soil bank, and the soil bank paid for the land for them, just acre after acre that was paid for that way.
How old were you, say, in 1930?
I was 10 in 1930.
Did you lose a lot of your young friends from people moving away?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was... a lot of kids that we were friendly with in school that moved out that were neighbors, or, close neighbors, besides the ones that came in on the school bus that we went to Hawk Springs. Was partially consolidated then. They had built a new school, and they had their first term in 27 and 28, and then they did some more consolidating and brought in the kids from the little country schools, so you would have quite a bunch of friends in the outlying districts that you didn't normally see.
Did the conditions at that time affect school life at all? Was there a change in your lunches you took to school?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of the kids' lunches were bread and butter and jelly, and maybe they'd have a little homemade bologna, but something like that. But it was bread and butter and peanut butter and jelly. That was one of the biggest part of the school lunches, up until they started serving school lunches in the schools. And the school lunches in the school was, I think, a real good thing to get started.
How about clothes for school? Was that a problem?
problem?
Oh, I suppose it was. Your clothes that the kids wore to school were basically their everyday clothes. Faded jeans and the girls wore flour sack dresses, which were made from the material in the flour sacks. And it was, I've been told it was nice material. And, of course, in those days, most of the mothers sewed, and they made real nice clothes from those flour sacks. Well, chicken feed sacks come later on. They didn't buy chicken feed sacks then.
Was there anything that happened to you personally at that time that really stands out in your memory? I'm thinking of one man told me that for his birthday he got a little wooden train, and he left it outside one night, and the wind got to blowing in the night, and it blew sand over that train, and they never did find it again. Mm-hmm. And that's one child's recollection of that time.
No, I don't. Well, yeah, that's it.
How would you get the cattle out of a situation like that?
Well, you put a rope on their, put a rope around their neck, and tie it to a team of horses. One man take the team, and usually I was the guy that, well, one man take the team, usually I was the one that took the team, and either dad or the hired man would get him by the tail, and you just kind of wallow him around and pull on him. He didn't pull. Well, you pulled hard. As far as that goes, it did. It pulled hard. But I don't know. We only lost, I think we lost a couple from having to pull them out. But it had just completely blown this little creek full east of us. And we'd lost... I think we'd lost four, and we just thought somebody would come by and need some meat. And the cattle started for the creek, and I don't know why I went along, but I saddled my pony up and started over that way. And I got over there and saw this cow walk out on the sand. There wasn't any water there. The water had gone under the sand, and they had to go about a quarter of a mile on east to get to where the stream of water was still out of the sand. But she started out in there and bogged down, and I came right back to the house, and the hired man and I took the team over and pulled that one out. And so when my dad came home, we told him about it. And so then as soon as the cattle had ate after we'd fed them and they started for water, why, somebody went over a horseback and made them go on up the creek a ways, and that stopped that, mostly stopped that problem.
Were there any problems working the field? With all that dirt blowing around?
Well, you didn't work the fields when the dirt was blowing around. And most everybody would get out and plant spring grain. And, of course, they were trying to raise fall wheat. They didn't raise it. They didn't summer fallow their ground like they do now. And they'd plant their fall wheat, and then it wouldn't come up, and that ground would blow, and then they'd work that ground in the spring and try to get some spring grain planted, and maybe you'd get enough shower to get the seed sprouted and up, and maybe the seed would lay there, and weeds would come, and then they'd, if they had any livestock, why, they'd salvage what weeds they could, and then in the fall of the year, why, the wind would start blowing, and it'd blow all winter long. And I know a lot of the time we didn't haul hay till late in the evening. You couldn't, the wind blew so hard, you couldn't load it on the hay racks. And then if you would throw it off the hay racks onto the ground, it'd be blowing so hard that the cattle couldn't eat it. So there was, in the winter of 34, I expect there was a month, maybe 6 weeks, that we didn't feed cattle until 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night, just on the account of the wind blowing so hard that the feed wouldn't even hit the ground after you pitched it off of the hay rack.
Were there problems keeping the equipment running at that time, or the machinery?
No, I don't think there was any problem. We didn't. You had very little equipment that you couldn't take care of yourself. And as far as parts were concerned, most of the people. Oh, they made their own parts. They made do with what they had. You didn't. Parts weren't they weren't real expensive, and I don't think that as far as getting parts or keeping the equipment running, I don't think there was a problem, not around here anyway. You made do with what you had.
When you got to the age there in the later 30s, when you wanted to be going places and doing things, was there any problem with going to town on a Saturday night or going to a picnic on Sunday? Or?
No. Our first transportation was when we went anywhere, we went horseback. Neighbors, well, there was two sets of neighbors that were in school, and we'd ride horseback to Hawk Springs for basketball practice, and then we'd, when the weather was cold, we'd usually have an ice skating party, and we'd ride a horseback to the ice skating party, and then ride on home, and if the folks were, Saturday night was most of the people on Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, they went to town. The Storts had, they give away a basket of groceries over here in Hawk Springs. Yeah, or had a drawing for a basket of groceries, and the town was full of people then. Anybody that, had any kind of transportation would go to town and there were their eggs and their cream and in hopes of winning a basket of groceries. But we didn't have to leave the Hawk Springs community for our entertainment. The kids made their own, and then the grown-ups had, they had card parties, and the kids all went. And the kids would, they played kids' games. I think everybody really enjoyed it more than they do now. Well, I know you saw your neighbors a lot more.
Did the conditions at that time seem to alter the plans of the young people in the community as far as going away to school or going to town, to a bigger town to work or anything?
Well, the kids, when they graduated from high school, there was not too many of them thought about going to college, because when the boys got big enough, usually after you got through junior high, you were expected to take a team and go to the field and work right along with the men, and then as you got bigger, you did the manual labor just like the men did. And you didn't think about going to college. Not too many of them did.
Would those times have prevented any of the younger people from Louisiana or influence?